I'm watching you, Albert Herker. Deliver the package and the envelope, and if you dare take a peek inside, something dreadful will happen to you. As a professional good fairy godmother, I ain't allowed to curse anyone, but I predict it would probably involve being bitten by an enraged wolf and your leg going green and runny and dropping off. Don't ask me how I know. Anyway, you can't, because I'm dead. All the best. Desiderata. He picked up the package with his eyes shut. Light travels slowly in the Discworld's vast magical field, which means that time does too. As Nanny Ogg would put it, when it's tea time in January, it's Tuesday over here. In fact, it was dawn in January. Lilith sat in her tower, using a mirror, sending her own image out to scan the world. She was searching. Wherever there was a sparkle on a wave crest, wherever there was a sheet of ice, wherever there was a mirror or a reflection, then Lilith knew she could see out. You didn't need a magic mirror. Any mirror would do, if you knew how to use it. And Lilith, crackling with the power of a million images, knew that very well. There was just a nagging doubt. Presumably, Desiderata would have got rid of it. Her sort were like that, conscientious. And presumably, it would be to that stupid girl with the watery eyes who sometimes visited the cottage, the one with all the cheap jewellery and the bad taste in clothes. She looked just the type. But Lilith wanted to be sure. She hadn't got where she was today without being sure. In puddles and windows all over Lancre, the face of Lilith appeared momentarily and then moved on. And now it was dawn in Lancre. Autumn mists rolled through the forest. Granny Weatherwax pushed open the cottage door. It wasn't locked. The only visitor Desiderata had been expecting wasn't the sort to be put off by locks. "She's had herself buried round the back," said a voice behind her. It was Nanny Ogg. Granny considered her next move, to point out that Nanny had deliberately come early so as to search the cottage by herself, then raised questions about Granny's own presence. She could undoubtedly answer them, given enough time. On the whole, it was probably best just to get on with things. "Ah," she said, nodding. "Always very neat in her ways, was Desiderata."
"Well, it was the job," said Nanny Ogg, pushing past her and eyeing the room's contents speculatively. "You've got to be able to keep track of things in a job like hers. By gore, that's a bloody enormous cat."
"It's a lion," said Granny Weatherwax, looking at the stuffed head over the fireplace.
"Must have hit the wall at a hell of a speed, whatever it was," said Nanny Ogg.
"Someone killed it," said Granny Weatherwax, surveying the room.
"Should think so," said Nanny. "If I'd seen something like that eating its way through the wall, I'd have hit it myself with a poker."
There was, of course, no such thing as a typical witch's cottage, but if there was such a thing as a non-typical witch's cottage, then this was certainly it. Apart from various glassy-eyed animal heads, the walls were covered in bookshelves and watercolour pictures. There was a spear in the umbrella stand. Instead of the more usual earthenware and china on the dresser, there were foreign-looking brass pots and fine blue porcelain. There wasn't a dried herb anywhere in the place, but there were a great many books, most of them filled with Desiderata's small, neat handwriting. A whole table was covered with what were probably maps, meticulously drawn. Granny Weatherwax didn't like maps. She felt instinctively that they sold the landscape short.
"She certainly got about a bit," said Nanny Ogg, picking up a carved ivory fan and flirting coquettishly.
Nanny Ogg didn't know what a coquette was, although she could probably hazard a guess. "Well, it was easy for her," said Granny, opening a few drawers. She ran her finger along the top of the mantelpiece and looked at them critically. "She could have found time to go over the place with a duster," she said vaguely. "I wouldn't go and die and leave my place in this state."
"I wonder where she left, you know, it," said Nanny, opening the door of the grandfather clock and peering inside.
"Shame on you, Githa Ogg," said Granny. "We're not here to look for that."
"No, course not. I was just, wondering."
Nanny Ogg tried to stand on tiptoe surreptitiously in order to see on top of the dresser. "Githa, for shame. Go and make us a cup of tea."
"Oh, all right."
Nanny Ogg disappeared, muttering into the scullery.